One double down, another big one to go. We discuss the four teams who play twice as we look longingly at KDB. We discuss plans with Newcastle, and Sam and I have activated Bench Boost. Hello guys, welcome back after a big midweek of Champions League action. European action, of course, hasn't finished just yet. Sam Bumper will want me to remind us all of that because, of course, her team haven't played. It's Thursday morning. We've seen Arsenal get through to the semi-finals. So we've got a very happy Jules with us, haven't we? Jules, firstly, Arsenal PSG in the next round. Who are you supporting?
It's the Lawrence Derby, isn't it? Like, at least I'll have one of my teams in the final. So that's perfect. And it could be a mix of stress and excitement before the two semi-finals, really, home and away, because I think I still want PSG to qualify because it's the original, really, team there. But as you know, my heart is for Arsenal too. So yeah, it's just, I could not have had a better draw for French teams in the Champions League and the Europa League so far this season. So that just continues with the semi-final.
Yeah, win-win. And that does mean we're going to get a lot more Julian Nerón on our screens, I reckon, and radios
over
the next few weeks, because whatever happens, he's going to have a team in the final as well, isn't he? So yeah. And all of a sudden, you get the feeling if Arsenal win, he's going to be all in on Arsenal again, once again, before the final. Anyway, not only have we had Champions League this week, of course, we did have double game week 32. And if you weren't watching Arsenal against Real Madrid, or Real Madrid against Arsenal, I should say, it was Newcastle versus Palace. What a result for Newcastle. Don't think too many of us saw that one coming. A massive win for, I was going to say, Eddie Howe's side. Eddie Howe, of course, in hospital, Jason Tindall in charge. But Sam, as the chief Palace FPL asset champion, didn't go very well, did it?
No, like, honestly, and I last night, from a Palace perspective, from the ones that I own, couldn't have gone any worse. Mateta going off on 57, Eze missing a penalty, and Munoz conceded 5 goals. Like, I was like, boys, come on now. I've spent all of this time acting as your number one fan, and then this is how you repay me in the double game week. Yeah, I wasn't very happy with them. So at least my Newcastle assets did well to compensate. I guess that's helpful. But yeah, really difficult with Palace now. I think a lot of people will be struggling with what to do with them, particularly given they double again this week. But you do feel a little bit less excited to have the treble up of Palace, because the double game week doesn't look any better next week, does it?
It's the double game week curse, isn't it? Yeah. I sold Kerkez to bring in Munoz. But I mean, that was a couple of game weeks ago, but you do, don't you? You see these doubles. Yeah. Palace had the double-double. It made total sense on paper, as did, in the end, for me. I took my triple captain off Jacob Murphy, didn't I, and did Isak. So, I mean, Isak scoring.
I told you. You don't listen to me anyway.
No, I don't. I've not hidden the fact that I don't listen to you ever. I've never claimed I do listen to you.
You should have.
Yes, I know. I was gutted. Thankfully, Isak did eventually get the goal. But for a while yesterday, what was it, 4 goals without any returns for him? And then when he scored, there was a mighty sigh of relief from myself. Let's reflect on all of our game weeks then, because I did triple caps and I got 87. It was a bit underwhelming, to be honest. I got the best score out of the three of us, but not by far. In fact, Jules, you got the same as me, because you assistant manager Glasner, which I don't really know what to say about that.
No, because, you know, I absolutely love this chip. We said it before. I think it's brilliant to have. I've never been such a strong Crystal Palace fan ever in my life than I was in the last two games. Literally, I was wearing scarf and hat and shirt, like everything, full kit, everything you want to be behind Glasner and Palace. And a City started so well, 2-0 up. I was like, my God, this can't happen. Really, they can't be City in that manner over there. And obviously they get smashed in. They've now conceded 10 goals since I put Glasner in as my assistant manager chip in two games. But yeah, it was really fun. I know it didn't pay off really for me so far, because he had 2 points against City and then 0 obviously last night. But I don't know, I felt myself really wanted Palace to win and Glasner. I was like, I felt like an assistant manager myself. I was like, Oliver, please do this and change that and get him out. And like, really animated in front of the television for nothing, obviously, because I had no impact on the game, and neither did Glasner. To be fair, he was completely lost, the poor guy. But yeah, it was still fun, and I enjoyed it.
Okay, so 87 for Jules, and you did get the Murphy captaincy correct. And you did also do the other transfers that you said you were going to do on the pod. You did do Sarta Rogers. Did that pay off? No, I don't think it did really, did it?
Yeah, massively. Rogers with 6 points and returning when when Sarr really, as we saw, he had the assist for the Eze goal, I think.
Well, Sarr got 7 points. So,
did he got 7? Sorry, yeah. I thought he got 5, but yeah. But yeah, still, I'm still happy because Rodgers, for me, longer term, is a no-brainer to have now anyway. So
yeah, okay. So kind of not the most successful transfers, but it's not about transfers for just 1 week, is it? Of course, it's the longer term. So myself and Jules propping up the league got 87 points. Sam, you're at the top of the league. You got 80 points. You captain DSAC as well. Are you quite happy to not have a chip active and kind of get through with that score?
Kels, I can't tell you how relieved I am. Like, honestly, I have...
The way you paused then, I was like, have I missed a chip that she had active?
No. And on Saturday morning, I don't think I've ever felt as stressed as I did going into this game week. I was so worried about my whole team. I was worried about them not starting, half of them, around the European matches. I was worried about the fact that I knew that the majority of people that I care about's teams would have a chip active and mine wouldn't. So I was in my head, I was like, I'm going to have a load of players that don't start. Maybe they come on for 1 point cameos. I don't have a chip to kind of counteract everybody else's chip strategy. And so I decided that the best thing to do was just to forget about life and get on with the rest of my day. And thankfully I had a lovely day out planned with my little ones. So I was like, right, I can just forget that that's happening and not worry about team news or anything else. And I'll just pick it up later on in the day and see how it's gone.
Who did you think would not start?
Well, no. So I think it's just general. So so my bench, Jules, I had Gvardiol and Saka on my bench. And that's ridiculous, isn't it? Like when you think about that from a FPL perspective, benching your most expensive players is ridiculous. In my head, I was like, I know. And it was the right thing to do. Mm. And it made absolute sense, but it still feels ridiculous. And in my head, I'm like benching them to play like Tino Livramento and Morgan Rogers, like two of the most budget-friendly players in the game. It's the right thing to do, but nonetheless, it still feels ridiculous. So I'm looking at my bench with these guys on it. And I've been quite open about my stress levels on Saturday morning. So we get sort of halfway through the Palace game, just before halfway through the Palace game. And my other half goes to me, he's like, Sam, do you want some good news? And I was like, yeah, I actually would really like some good news. It might calm me down. He was like, Gvardiol's conceded twice. And I was like, okay, perfect. I'll feel better. And I did feel better from that point. And as soon as I saw the Villa team news with Morgan Rogers starting, which I was absolutely convinced was going to be the case, but everyone around me kept telling me that Morgan Rogers was going to get rested. And I was like,
he doesn't get rested.
He doesn't get rested and he's too important.
Exactly.
So I was just like, I can't see that happening. So actually in the end, to come through it with a green arrow and only to have lost 7 points to you two who both had chips active, I was absolutely over the moon with that. So now heading into next week where I am going to have a chip active, it should be an opportunity to claw some of those points back from others around me that played their bench boost this week and obviously then won't have that to play next week.
Yeah, I'm a bit gutted because I really needed that triple captain to pay off to kind of climb rank a little bit and make up some ground.
It's not bad.
No, but I'm just annoyed because I was so close to doing Jacob Murphy. I really was. Like, sometimes you can go, oh, I wish I'd done that, but you know you were never going to do it. Also, I benched Konsa at the last minute because exactly of all the reasons you said, Sam. People got in my head about, Konsa will get benched, Konsa will get benched. And I was like, no, I don't want double Arsenal defence. And everyone was like, why not? And of course, then the clean sheet for that one goes in the second half. And I've got Raya and I've got Saliba. And I was just annoyed because, again, story of my season, I didn't go with my gut and what my own head was telling me and I let other people listen. So for about the fifth season in a row, my new FPL season resolution is going to be not to listen to others because, sometimes you just have to go with your gut, don't you? And I didn't do that. And here we are. I climbed rank a little bit, but nowhere near enough, still having a terrible season. Anyway, let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League because Dan is at the top. A reminder, Dan came in late, didn't need to kind of swoop in and take all the glory. He did take a -4 though, so Max has closed the gap a little bit, just 8 points between those two. Andrea's still third. Eamon Alama is up into fourth because he triple captained Isak. As promised, we are keeping track of Kasper Pape Heligso, who is the only member of the top 10 with the assistant manager chip active. Like Jules, he went with Glasdam, which, well, the less said about that one, the better. Let's move on then to double game week 33. And as we mentioned, Palace have two fixtures again. This time, Arsenal, Villa and Manchester City double with them. So four teams doubling. So we're going to start with those teams. I think we do have to start with Palace because we've already mentioned it. The double did not go well for them. We're all trebled up. The majority of managers will be. I guess we just have to stick, don't we, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. At least for this double game week, it's two games and it's Bournemouth and Arsenal. So Bournemouth, as we've said, going through maybe a little bit of a dip in their form, certainly compared to earlier in the season. Arsenal with so many games to play because now they are obviously in the semi-final of the Champions League. So they're going to play in the weekend and in midweek, then in the weekend, then the first leg against PSG the next midweek. So they'll have so many games to come, and we are on to back-to-back Champions League semi-final as well. So you play again at the weekend. Well, at the weekend, no, because it's the FA Cup, but then you play again in the Champions League. So there might be some rotation from an Arsenal point of view. We'll talk about that later. So for Palace, I think they have to go for it. They have to respond after losing 5-2 and 5-0. This is just not acceptable. It's humiliating for them. So I really expect a big reaction against Bournemouth, certainly, in that home game. And then away at Arsenal, it will depend a lot of what kind of Arsenal team Mikel Arteta put on the pitch. But I guess we have to trust Glasner and Mateta and the others that they have to really show something much better than they did in the last two games.
Same for you, Sam. Sticking. I guess it's also a little bit different for us because Jules is going to have his assistant manager active, but both of us are going to have our bench boost active. So, well, I mean, it's not different, is it? You still just play them and keep them. Sorry if you can hear my little girl in the background crying, by the way.
I think the thing with Palace is that, and the bench boost does make a difference, and I think you're right to raise that, Kels, because you don't have the luxury. Like last week, I was worried about half my team only getting 1 point cameos, and actually half of them did get 1 point cameos, thankfully, all the ones that were on the bench. But with the bench boost active, you don't want that. You want everyone to start the games. You want as many minutes as possible. And I think with Palace, what George said is right. Like they've got to bounce back from those two really disappointing results. I mean, I think especially the Man City one would have really knocked them, because to be 2-0 up and then to lose that game in the manner that they did, I mean, it was KDB at his electric best, wasn't it? But I think that will have really knocked them. And then obviously going into midweek, they'll have wanted to see some improvement there and didn't really get it because Newcastle performed incredibly well last night. So yeah, I'm going to stick with my three Palace assets because I don't think you can realistically take out a double game week player unless you are swapping them for another double game week player who you think is going to be better. Mm. But then that's a massive risk in itself, isn't it? And it could absolutely come back to bite you. So I'm going to stick with my three and hope that we see some improvements in their performance. We just need to rewind to like 2 or 3 weeks ago when they were absolutely epic, and that'd be lovely.
Are you concerned about Mateta at all, Sam?
Oh,
because he's actually a concern to me. Like, yeah, Jules, what are we thinking? Because that was a really disappointing double game week. He's had that awful injury. I know they're saying he's fine, he's fit, but I don't know. I'm just not wild about having him at the moment.
Yeah, and there's a couple of games where he came off early too. Mm. He came off early, sorry. Like Sam just said, 57 minutes last night it was. Mm. And really, it's not good enough when you can go for, when you have so many good options, I think, up front in the game at this stage of the season for us, when you need as many points as you can to climb up in your mini leagues and rankings and have as many points as possible. All of that, you know, it's just, you can't really waste it on a player that is underperforming and not even playing the whole 90 minutes or close to and have more chances to score. So yeah, Mateta doesn't, I mean, to be fair, he's still so dependent on Sarr and Eze and the two wing backs, especially Munoz, that if he's just not clicking for Palace collectively, he's always going to struggle because he's that kind of striker. He just needs the service. He's not somebody like Isak who can make things happen almost on his own, and this is not his game. So he's very dependent on the collective behind him. And if that collective is not great or at the top, like we saw in the last two games, then he obviously struggles. So I think he will start certainly against Bournemouth. There's no doubt, because still Nketiah is not at the same level anyway. But like for the rest of the team, and like we've been saying earlier, we need a massive reaction from Mateta and from the others.
Okay, let's move on to another team then, because it sounds like we're all going to stick begrudgingly with Crystal Palace at the moment. But maybe on next week's pod, it will be a very different conversation as we plan going forward. Let's talk about Aston Villa, because, well, I mean, they were brilliant, weren't they, against PSG on Tuesday evening. And in the end, pretty unlucky not to get something at the very end. In double game week 33, their fixtures are Newcastle at home before Manchester City away. I've got two Villa players at the moment. And Sam, I'm really struggling with the right number of Villa players to have. And also, I mean, hands up, I've got the wrong Villa player in Rashford over Rodgers. I really regret that. But how many Villa players do you think you need, bearing in mind they do also blank and have the FA Cup on the horizon? So could have one around that.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because I have one at the moment in just Morgan Rogers, and I feel like I've got the right one at least. Yeah. So at least I've got the one that I think we need. But then I'm looking at my team, and you know, partly this leads into players like Jacob Murphy, who's been so brilliant, and he was going to be my route to a second Aston Villa asset.
Well, third, I was going to go to Rogers, and I want Rogers. But how can you sell Murphy now?
You can't.
No.
And so that was my thing. So I was looking at it and I was thinking, okay, so the way I saw it, the game on Saturday was the audition for Rashford and Asensio and all of the other Villa attackers, including Ollie Watkins in that, because I potentially, there was a moment where I was thinking, well, maybe I could sell Isak for a week or two and I could go with Watkins instead. So I was looking at all different routes to doing it. And after Jacob Murphy's performance over the last couple of, it's not even just couple of matches, it's like a few weeks now, he's been so good that I just can't see how I can sell him, because on a bench boost, I would expect them to do well, particularly given that the fixture that they have is against a Villa side who knows what they might do around the FA Cup. And they're not exactly keeping loads of clean sheets themselves. So I'm struggling. Rodgers, absolutely, yes. I think, if you don't have him, I think you do need to find a way, Kels, and I'm not sure that Jacob Murphy's going to be the right way to that. I've also
looked at selling Ismael Assar for him.
Wow.
But that feels bonkers because
it's Rashford even, if you wanted to.
Yeah, but it's the whole thing of Rashford, yes, my heart, that is probably the most sensible thing, but all it takes is for Rashford to all of a sudden
England
start.
England loyalty.
Yeah. No, but
and
also...
And so well on Tuesday too, is in great form.
Yeah, and it's that whole double game week thing. You try and switch to the informed double game week player, and then all of a sudden your double game week player decides to show up. And Tuesday did change my thinking about him a bit as well. Yeah, because I was surprised when Emery took him off. Although I was pleased when Emery took him off, because I thought, oh, that maybe enhances his chances of starting at the weekend. But it's that whole conundrum, isn't it? Who do you sell? And the only other single game week player I have in midfield is Mo Salah, and... No.
Oh yeah, sell him Kells against Leicester. Sorry. That seems like a great idea.
Yeah, so it's tough, isn't it? It's really tough. That was a wrong decision for me, and it's a big wrong decision that's having big swings and could be even bigger this week. So, Yeah.
I think Rashford is a good idea to be fair, because they really, the whole season now in the league, the FA Cup is another matter, but in the league, if Villa want to finish top five and then qualify for the Champions League next season, which obviously the FA Cup won't offer them, it's the Europa League, and everybody from the club after the Tuesday's game was saying, like, this is what we want every season. We want this. We want those Champions League nights. Yeah. Of course, they have to finish top five. This is on those two games there, I think, decides the where Villa finish this season. If they win them both, I'm sure they finish top five, because the momentum they will have after that is great. If you can beat Newcastle and City right now in the space of 5 days, really, then this is it. I think your season is on the way to finish top five, and that's a great achievement on top of whatever happens in the FA Cup, and that potentially could be great too. But they have to win them too. So I think Rashford has to be at the heart of it, more than Watkins, more than pretty much even Ramsey, if you want to play Watkins and Rashford together and Rashford back on that left-hand side. So Rashford is a good idea, like is Rodgers, obviously, is a no-brainer, is a must-have. I've got Luka Dean, who didn't play in the last two league games because he was being kept for the Champions League. There's no more Champions League now, but there's the FA Cup, so I'm not sure how much he's going to play of those two games. But defensively, Villa are not great. Offensively, I think Ding is a potentially good option, but defensively, they haven't kept that many clean sheets. They've conceded a lot of goals, to be fair. But Rashford and Rodgers, I think, could be a nice double up if you wanted two players from Villa.
Yeah, it's just who you sell, though, isn't it, as well? Because it's so tough. Jacob Murphy, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed his form, but also it would have made it a lot easier to sell him. So you've got the two Jules in Rodgers and Ding, yeah? Are you going to stick with the two or add any?
Yeah, that's it. I don't fancy three either. And I can't really fit three in the way my team is set either.
I think a lot of people will struggle to fit a third in, won't they, Sam? Because of the reason I've just said as well, we've all got quite similar teams.
Yeah, if you've got the assistant manager though, Emery's not terrible as an option for the third if you don't want to stick with Glasner. Or
no point stable though.
No, but I think, you know, we've seen over the last couple of matches, like Emery got 11 in game week 32 against Southampton because he got the clean sheet, he got the goals and obviously gets the win. So, all right, it's not a table bonus win. But, you know, when you're talking about 11 points, that's similar to well, it's a lot more than what Glasner got. And yeah, it's similar to what we've had for some of the returns from table bonus teams. It's not far away. You're talking like 3 or 4 points less. So I don't know. I think you have to kind of weigh that up, don't you? And it's like, I guess if Palace had been performing really, really well, or like if you've been on Eddie Howe for the last couple of weeks, which he didn't have table bonus either, and has got a phenomenal return over the course of this
from
double.
Hospital as well. It's even more impressive.
I know from yeah, his hospital literally. Bed, it's incredible.
He should get 5 more points from, like, you know, hospital points, really.
Because he's been disadvantaged by not being there. I think absolutely. So. Yeah. So what, 23? I think he got over the course of the double game week. Now, if you take that 23, like you're obviously you bank that, but if you've had Howe as your assistant manager rather than Glasner, and you're looking to invest this week, what do you do? Because do you take a punt on Glasner and hope your table bonus comes in, which is basically what Jules and half the world did this week, and it's not gone particularly well? Or do you go, okay, well, I'm not really going to get table bonus, but are there other assets that are maybe better? And is going for an Emery or an Arteta maybe a better option, because it maybe gives the security of points, particularly if you've already got Howard points in the bag last week? So I think you're right. I think a lot of people will struggle to treble up on Aston Villa. Emery's probably the way to do it. I don't even know if I'm going to have to double up, because the route for me getting a double up is to get a defender. But I think there are some single game week defenders that might actually be better picks than Villa double game week defenders, because I don't see clean sheets for them.
Okay, so it sounds like all of us are going to have one, maybe two. I went Konsa on my wild card, so I've got him, of course. Got 7 points, and I benched those 7 points. But he'll probably start on my bench again. But at least my bench beast will be active. Jules, have you considered Emery, or are you just totally on the bonus kind of train?
No, I mean, you know me now. I just love the risks. This is really sad. I don't even look at other options. I'm thinking table points, double game week. This is what I want.
That's a transfer for you as well, right?
Yeah, but that's okay. I would not mind. To be fair, I would not mind taking it, even, you know, even if it's a -4, for example. I just love the risk, I won't lie. And yeah, you could have got safer, not targeting the table points from a Glasner, and Eddie Howe was great, Unai was great. There was a lot of other really good options you could have taken. We said that in last week's show. I just love the thrill of having Glasner and having no attachment to Crystal Palace or Glasner or anybody else, but just wanted them to do so well because he can bring me a lot of points. And in the end, he's got 2 points in 2 games, which is terrible, really, because if you add up the 23 points that Eddie Howe got instead of Glasner, then I would have done so much better this game week, for example. But I just love the thrill. Yeah, I just love the gamble too. And I think that's what is amazing with this chip, is that the players who are a bit more like cautious, let's say, or safer, would probably actually do well, better with the assistant manager chip than the ones like me who just want the risk and I'm just going to go for the stars. And really, I know I'm just going to get nothing probably again in game week 33, but I don't know, I would just love the ride, basically.
Sam, just a quick word on the assistant manager. Is Emery a good option this week? Is he the best option, or what would you say?
I think if I was playing it this week, I think I probably would go Emery, because I just think that the performances from Palace over the last two matches in double game week 32 would massively put me off. But having said all of that, if I was already on Glasner, I'd just keep it there. Because I think if you're on Glasner, that's the way you've tripled up on Palace. And I would value the transfer more moving forward on a player than I would on changing the assistant manager when he's got 2 games anyway. So if you're on Howe and you're looking for a new manager, then I think I would look at Emery. But if you aren't on Howe and you're already on Glasner, then I would stick.
Okay, let's stick with the double game week teams then and move on to Arsenal. Their fixtures then, they travel to Ipswich, then Palace visit them at home. Of course, they've just had that energy sapping but incredible Champions League second leg quarterfinal against Real Madrid last night. I think most managers already have at least one defender. And over the last few weeks, I think a lot of people have been moving back to Sacco, who is now actually owned by 21.8% of the game. And I'm sure by the time a lot of people listen to that, that will have risen even more. Jules, which way do we go with Arsenal? As the Arsenal fan at the moment, what would you say is the optimum way of making the most of this double game week?
I think Saka makes a lot of sense. So already there will be a Raya, a Timber, Saliba in your team, maybe even two of those, like you, Kels, have doubled up, but defensively, if you've got another spot, I think Saka makes sense. Not just for this double game week, I think, even if I'm not sure he's going to start both of those games, I can easily see him starting only one of them too. Maybe the one you would think that on paper, the Palace one looks slightly more difficult than the Ipswich one, even if Ipswich is away from home. But I'm not sure if we'll start both. I think there might be a bit of rotation from Arteta, just to warn people and the listeners and people who are watching on YouTube. But I still think Saka makes so much sense. The way he played against Real Madrid in that second leg on Wednesday night was outstanding. I thought, I know he missed a pen, but overall he was just so, so good. This Arsenal team, as you said, Kels, will have the boost from the qualification. They'll be looking forward to the semi-final already. And I think they're going to be so much better for it. Really, the title is over. It was over a long time ago and it's Liverpool's now. But I think they will play to get ready for this Champions League semi-final confrontation against PSG. So I will go for Saka. I've made the move Palmer to Saka already because I think I never really understand the price rises. So I thought, let's do it now. 5 a.m. train this morning down from Manchester to London. Perfect time of doing it. And I think a lot of people are probably going to do that move, to be fair. And it's the right move, even if I think there's a little doubt over Saka's minutes in those two games coming up.
So you'll have Saka, Saliba. Do you have Raya? No, you don't, do you?
No, and that's it. Yeah.
So you're just going to have the two?
Yeah, two. I think because I can't really fit anybody else and yeah, I'm happy with them too.
Sam?
Yeah, so it goes back to that Jacob Murphy conversation again. So my original plan when I wildcarded was to use the Jacob Murphy slot either for another Aston Villa attacker or to use it for another Arsenal attacker. And because I've already got Saliba and Saka in my team. So the two of them are there anyway. Obviously went with Sells instead of Raya. So when that Nottingham Forest clean sheet went on 94th minute, I was absolutely fuming about that. And then only felt a little bit better when the Raya one also went. But I'm really struggling for a way to invest in Arsenal outside of another defender, and I'm not sure I want another defender. So I think for me, I'm just going to go in with the two that I have, because Moreno, yes, I quite like the idea of a little bit of a punt on him. I sort of also quite like the idea of going back to Martinelli, because a couple of seasons ago, he was so great. But then Jacob Murphy keeps passing his auditions every week, and that seems a bit ridiculous to get rid of him. And all right, it's a little bit different because I can have Jacob Murphy back next week for that great fixture, because I'm going to free hit in 34. So if I sell him, it's fine. But I don't really want to sell him. And I think I'd rather have him on my bench boost. So, and I'm, you know, you never really know with the rest of the Arsenal attackers, do you, who's going to get the start across those two matches because of the rotation that Jules just spoke about. So I think I'm just going to stick with
Jules. If there is going to be rotation, which I would expect as well, is there any other names that could be good assets if you wanted to take a punt, if you were chasing in your mini league? What about the likes of Trossard, say, for example?
Yeah, maybe, who was good against Everton, for example, in a game that he started because he was not going to start in the Champions League, and he didn't start in the Champions League. He just came on. So yeah, Trossard potentially. There's Nwaneri as well, who I think will have minutes in those two games for the same reasons as Trossard. But I think you'd be pushing if you want. That's a big, big gamble to go for a Trossard instead of somebody else that you know will start for another team, really. So I'm not sure if I'd be ready to go there. But yeah, there are those other options, because I think Arteta almost he has to rotate. We said there's too many games coming up in the next 10 days, really, from an Arsenal point of view, that it's going to be so much that he will have to give a bit of rest, really. Like Declan Rice, I mean, at some point, he's still probably running. I think he ran back from Madrid to London on his own because he had that much energy, but just keep him there. Saka just came back from injury. Let's not forget, this was only, what, his fourth game back, I think. And they've been managing his minutes because he didn't start against Brentford, for example, because he can't just start and play 90 minutes in all those games coming up. It's not possible. He can't play those four games in the space of, like we said, 2 weeks, playing 90 minutes each time just after coming back from a three-month injury absence. So they will manage some minutes. So you have to be ready and know that before you make your decision on what Arsenal players you bring in or you already have. But yeah, I still think it's worth having a Saka in your team, for example.
Okay then, so a bit of rotation potentially with Arsenal. But as for Manchester City, just the league and FA Cup for them. Sam, why are you laughing?
Oh, because Man City just feel so complicated, don't they? Like, I spent all of Saturday afternoon working out if it was actually
to get
possible
to KDB.
For Saturday evening when I got home.
Yeah, I did the same. Yeah. It's physically impossible unless you sell Salah.
I was like, can I find...
Yeah, Salah or Saka.
And on that though, if you haven't bought in Saka, so if you were in Jules' position, I mean, he's made the transfer now, would it make more sense to go Palmer to KDB than Palmer to Saka for this double game week potentially? You think, yeah?
I think I might have done that.
I thought about it, to be fair. I just fancy Saka for the rest of the season. KDB, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure about City actually being consistent until between now and the end of the season. For Saka, you bring him now and you just keep it until the end of the season and you know what you're going to get, really. Even if there's a bit of rotation from Arsenal, you know what you're going to get. From Saka, you know what you're going to get. KDB, I know it was amazing, obviously, against Palace. Nobody can guarantee me that he's going to be amazing again against Everton at the weekend either, because he hasn't been at all season and neither have been City. So that was the only thinking behind going for Saka instead of KDB in this case.
Okay. So Sam, you can't get KDB, but would you say to managers if they can go there?
Yeah, Lee's got Foden. Mm. So he's going to, I think that's just a no-brainer to go from Foden to KDB. But I thought about it long and hard, like, is there a way I need to find 2 million? And so there are ways of doing it. Like, I could sell Isak, downgrade him, find 2 million. Like, I'm not saying that if I was to get KDB in this week, that would be it for the end of the season and I'd hold him till game week 38. Like, I definitely don't think that would be the case. I think he would come in and then pretty much go back out again. Like, I just have him for the double game week. But I just think that, like, it was like rolling back the years watching KDB when I watched that game back later on Saturday. And I was like, blimey, that's the KDB that I loved owning in FPL so much. Like, I'd like to have that for a final fling, particularly now that we know that he's not going to be at Man City next season. So I don't know. I think with that few games to go, only a few more to be played for him at the Etihad. Like, I don't know. I just quite like the idea of it. And as somebody that's already doubled up on Manchester City with Gvardiol and Marmoush, the idea of having a midfielder is kind of nice, right? Because it gives you one in every position. I do feel like, you know, Marmoush and KDB are probably the attackers to have from Manchester City, but I just don't have a way of doing it without destroying my team. But if you do, then that's what I would do this week.
Okay, so if you can get KDB, go there. Elsewhere, Marmoush, he kind of almost feels essential for the double, Jules. Do you agree at his price point and the fact that he's the starting City forward?
Yeah, definitely. And I think he probably should have had more points against Palace too, to be fair, than what, the 7 I think he got for the goal he scored. It's what we've been saying before. He wants to do so well. He's got all that energy. Marmoush, this is not the Bundesliga anymore. This is a different league. You can't just shoot all the time and just run everywhere all the time and stuff. As good as this could be for a City team that just needed that energy really in their ranks, and he's just bringing that, offering that, I still think he could tidy up a little bit his game and be even more efficient. But that will come. He's still a young player and certainly young in our league and in his current team. He's been there 2 minutes really. So he will get better and better. So for me, and I think he's heavily owned for those reasons, I think he's going to get better and better and better. And yeah, absolutely no-brainer to have him in your team right now.
So have you got Gvardiol, Jules?
Yeah, I've got him. Yeah. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. He despairs me.
Yeah. You wouldn't recommend people bringing him in. What about for the double? You must be happy to have him this week.
Yeah, but it's just that now he's moved back to a centre back position, and Nico Reilly, who's not even a left back, it's just Pep doing Pep things, obviously, again. And so Gvardiol as a centre back is not as appealing at all as a left back, as we've explained a lot this season already, because I think he's got 5 goals, Sam, or 6 goals in the league.
Yeah, the most.
Exactly.
The most of any.
Because he played as a left back, a very attacking one, not as a centre back. And now he's back centre back. And I'm like, why are you as a centre back? Why are you in my team even? But I'm going to keep him and just hope for the best, really. I think that's the only thing I can do.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of people have Gvardiol and Marmoush. Any other names we could throw in there, Sam, if you wanted another City player, if you were shopping for one this game week?
No, I think it's them two still. Mm. And then KDB, if you can. Like, I think otherwise you run the risk of the pet roulette, don't still. You, with everyone else. The Savinios, the Dokus, the Grealishes, like, could be anywhere. We don't know really where Foden is at the point that we're recording this. So it's really difficult to invest anywhere else. So I think you go with those two. And if you can get KDB, you do. And you enjoy a little final fling with him.
Okay, let's move on to the single game week teams then. And before we discuss all of them and kind of point out the likes of your Salahs and your Jacob Murphys who you just don't want to sell, I did want to talk about Newcastle in a little bit more detail because, Sam, a lot of people will be trebled up. And it's okay for us because we're going to have our bench boost active. But if you are trebled up, do we need an exit plan now or do we just hold because they're in such good form? Are they still good options in their positions? I'm looking at Dan Burn, for example. I'm probably going to sell him this game week.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Livramento and thinking that, because originally that was the slot that I was thinking. It was Jacob Murphy and Livramento. I'd have them for this one. I know that with my free hit next week, I can bring my Newcastle assets back in for the nice fixture that they have against Ipswich. So I was kind of like, okay, well, I could then in theory sell two of them. I could get two more double game weekers and I'll keep Isak because, you know, it's Isak and he can score from... And
probably got money in him as well, haven't you?
Got money in him, but also Kels, like... I know that, you know, we said it earlier, but you were really unlucky not to get more points out of him, particularly in that game at the weekend. Like, he should have had more goals than he did across that double game week. So I think, you know, he's one that I just was like, oh, I could sell him for Ollie Watkins, but do I really want to sell him for Ollie Watkins? No, I don't think I do. So he's going to stay. But the other two, like, I'm thinking about selling, but it's not really a reflection on them. And Jacob Murphy, I think, played himself into the you've got to be held now and I'll have him on my bench boost. I think your bigger issue is if you aren't bench boosting this week, you could have a lot of points on your bench for Newcastle players, couldn't you? But yeah, I think the defenders, you can probably sell this week as long as you've got the bench boost ready for the free hit ready for next week. If you don't have a free hit for 34, just keep your Newcastle players because you're going to need them next week.
Okay, Jules, what are you thinking of Newcastle?
Yeah, I'm going to keep Isak, Murphy and Burn. Even Burn, I think I might play the bench boost too and he would be on the bench. And I know away at Villa is not an easy game, but Newcastle is in such great
form.
Can you
play your bench boost? You can't play your bench boost.
I can't play it because of assistant managership.
Because you've got your assistant manager arm.
Stop trying to break those rules again.
I even forgot I had the assistant manager chip on the genius of Oliver Glasner. No bench boost for me. I'm not going to play. I don't fancy it.
We'll just cut that bit out of the pod.
I just don't fancy the bench boost this week anyway, and I can't play, as you know, if you know the rules. I just like Dan Burn too. I've got a really soft spot for him, so he's keeping. I mean, they've got Ipswich in at home the next game, so I wouldn't want to sell him now anyway.
Yeah, I guess for me and Sam, it's a case of looking at from game week 35 onwards and if we'd want them because of having we're on the same chip strategy in terms. And it's probably, are you playing your free hit in 34,
yes,
Jules?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you were to sell him this game week, you could bring it, as Sam said, you could bring him back for 34. Yeah. It's just looking at the run from 35 onwards, really. And if you want that Newcastle player, then I guess. Okay, then just touching on some of the other single game week players, because we wanted to remind you that in game week 32, Aaron Ramsdale of the first team relegated in the Premier League, Southampton, the goalkeeper for them, was the highest scoring player with 16 points against Aston Villa. That is, of course, because he did save two penalties. That won't happen every week. But it just points out that the single game week players can all return double digits. We had Aitnori and Ciso, Pedro, De Bruyne, Johnson, Doucouré, Kovacic and Partey all in double digits with their one fixture compared to those doubling players. So Liverpool, firstly, if you've got Liverpool, you play them, don't you, Sam?
Well, apart from you, you're going to sell Mo Salah, right?
Mo Salah for Morgan Rodgers.
Morgan Rodgers.
No, I'm not. I'm keeping Mo Salah. And if in any other game week, it's bonkers because we probably won't be captaining Mo Salah for Leicester away, which feels so bizarre. But yeah, that's the double game week fever. Yeah, anyway, we'll talk about captaincy in a bit.
Let's go to that later. Yeah, I think Liverpool, one of those teams this week that we really stand a chance of missing out on some big returns because we don't look at them because we're too busy looking at, well, how do I treble up on Villa and Man City and Arsenal and Palace? And the double game week fever does get you and it does make you kind of forget, I think, sometimes. And this game against a Leicester side that haven't scored at home in 8 matches is just madness. So I think that Salah is... is perfect. I think you what you might have if you're not bench boosting this week is you have to be mindful of getting too many doublers, because if you end up with three Palace and three City and three Arsenal and three Villa, then where's Salah in all of that? Like, you do have to play him. And I think that going for, you know, a Luis Diaz, or if we think that it's going to be Jota that gets the start, a Jota, or I know that Trent's on his way back, but still Conor Bradley for this week looks great, and Virgil van Dijk, like going for one of those instead of a doubler might seem counterintuitive to just pick somebody that's only going to get 90 minutes. But given that if other things go their way, Liverpool could win the league on Sunday. And I hope for my sake that that happens, because I don't want them winning the league against Spurs the week after, because imagine being in my house when that happens. I just think we shouldn't be overlooking them, and we should be having more than just Mo Salah in our teams from Liverpool for this game against Leicester.
Yeah, I agree. West Ham are also an interesting one. We don't have time to talk about them, but I've seen a lot of people with Jared Bowen, with we've got Areola on our wildcards.
I've got Wan-Bissaka as well.
Yeah, you went Wan-Bissaka too. I remember when I was doing my wildcard and I was looking at, why is everyone bringing in Wan-Bissaka? And I was like, I'm just going to see who they've got in the double, because he's not got a double. And I looked at him and was like, oh, he's got Southampton. Let's move on, because we are running out of time. So this needs to be the quickest differential of the week ever. Let's not even mention, because both of you got picked players last week that didn't get any points.
I got two points, thank you very much. Sam got zero, like a big fat zero.
You just got really lucky that Sam picked someone worse. Normally in a week, 2 points.
I'm sorry, I just won this week.
Yeah. Jammiest win ever. Go on then, Jules, who are you going with this week?
So I've got two, because I'm that kind of guy, you know, and I prepare for this show.
Go with one,
really,
please.
Well,
pick one.
I went for Mikel Merino, because I was so impressed with him on Wednesday night at Real Madrid, not just for the two assists, but also for his all-around game. I think he's improved so much in that number nine position that I never really thought he could reach this kind of level. And I know Real Madrid are not a good team. They're not very good. But still, he was, I thought, outstanding in everything he did, his movement, holding up the ball, the assist, just everything. Perfect. And I think he will have that kind of momentum. I know there's, like for Saka, like we explained, for Arsenal, there might be a bit of rotation. I'm not sure if Merino is going to start both games against Ipswich and Palace, and how many minutes he's going to play, but I still think it could be a very good differential. 6.1 million, so decent price, to be fair. 3.3% owned. He returned in two in his last four Premier League games, plus there's the two very good games against Real Madrid with one goal in the first leg and the two assists in the second leg. So he's in great form. I think it's a proper differential, this one.
Sam?
Moreno was one of the ones I had as well, just to back up what George has just been saying. Since game week 25, only Salah's got more goals than Moreno from the midfielders, and he's got a better goal conversion rate in that time than Morgan Rogers, Bruno Fernandes, Luis Diaz, and all right, he's had more matches, but also better conversion rate than Saka in that period. So yeah, I like him as well. In which case, I'll go with my other option, which is Conor Bradley. So he only has the one match this week. He's only going to cost you 4.7 million. So nice and cheap if you want a cheap defender. And all right, long term, we might have some issues around Trent coming back, but right now he looks like a good option. 0.7% ownership. So really, really nice differential. And, you know, I think going into the weekend, he got 9 points in game week 32, was subbed obviously before the clean sheet was lost, but he was playing so well, picked up the 3 bonus points in that one, faces the Leicester side, who, as I mentioned before, have failed to score in all of their last 8 home matches. So there should be a clean sheet there, and his crosses and the balls that he's supplying just look really, really nice. And I think when he's on the pitch, a bit like when Trent is on the pitch, we get the best out of Mo Salah. So I think there'll be potential for attacking returns at both ends of the pitch with Bradley this weekend.
Lovely. That was pretty quick, as I asked for. So thanks very much, guys. Transfers and captains. Jules, what are you doing?
So Saka is in already for Cole Palmer. I'm just not really sure what happened to Cole Palmer and to Chelsea, to be fair. So yeah, I thought this was the right move for me.
And captain?
I've got no idea this one, really. Because I like the idea of Saka having the armband, but I'm not sure really how much he's going to play in those two games. I think it's a bit difficult. So I'm thinking Marmoush, maybe, because I still fancy City and I think Marmoush gives you that kind of vibe. But yeah, it could be Salah or Leicester and just one game in the week, but against one of the worst teams that we've ever seen. And you know, so I don't know. I'll have to wait a little bit.
Sam?
In terms of transfers, I think I am going to do Livramento to a Liverpool defender. I don't know yet whether I'm going to go to Bradley or whether I'm going to go to Virgil. I can afford either. Bradley feels like the pick for this week, But Virgil feels like he'll get me through till the end of the season. And so maybe I just play it safe and I just go for Virgin instead and spend that extra money there. So one of those two will come in this week. And yes, all right, it's a single game weeker, but surely there's a clean sheet for Liverpool this time around. In terms of the captaincy, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been on Saka part of the week. I've been on Marmoush part of the week. I've been on Salah for part of the week. And at the moment I'm on Salah, which feels madness because it's a double game week. But I don't know. I just don't think you get a better fixture than that pretty much all season. Mm. And there could be a lot on that game this weekend as well. So it's either going to be Marmoush or Saka if I'm going to go for a doubler, or it's going to be on Salah.
Yeah, I think I'm probably leaning towards Marmoush as well, I think. But then this time last week, I was leaning on Jacob Murphy and look what happened. So yeah, there's a few names in there and it'll make for a good game because hopefully we'll all captain different people. That's where we'll leave it then. A reminder, there is no lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. Your deadline is a little bit later, 1:30 p.m. That's 90 minutes ahead of the 3 p.m. The games are Brentford, Brighton, Palace, Bournemouth, Everton, Man City and West Ham taking on Southampton. Harry and Oscar will be back on Off the Bench on Tuesday to review Game Week 33 so far. The Fantasy Show will be available on the Premier League website and app on Friday. We've got Sam and Lee from FPL Family joining me in the studio. So I'll see you guys then. Have a great weekend, everyone, and the very best of luck and enjoy it. It's a double game week and they're supposed to be fun, aren't they? See you next week.